I don't know if you've gotten to experience that before, the congregational reading. I know it's been a tradition here at Holy Cross, but it is new to me. And I have to say, it is incredibly powerful, isn't it? It's powerful to hear the Word of God read in many voices. It's powerful to hear these words on our own lips. It especially struck me as powerful that we began by walking in and shouting words of Hosanna, and yet only moments later, we were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Palm Sunday is an unusual day in that it begins with words of Hosanna, and yet it ends with the words, "Crucify him." It begins with us marching in to this sanctuary to worship our Lord and our Savior, and yet we know that Good Friday looms. This is the beginning of Holy Week. It is the beginning of this time when we as the church remember and give thanks for this Jesus who went to the cross and who rose again. We're told in Mark's gospel that as Jesus rode in, they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna is the ancient Hebrew cry of salvation and praise. In Hebrew, it literally means, "Lord, please save us." It's what we are shouting when we say Hosanna. It is a desperate cry for God's help. It's a desperate cry for hope. Their hope that day, on that first Palm Sunday, came to rest on Jesus, and for good reason. He had done incredible miracles. He had taught about God like no one else they had ever heard. And on this day, he came riding on a donkey. Now, that seems a little bit strange to us. We would expect him to be riding on some great stallion or something, something a little more dignified. It's almost like seeing the President of the United States ride into town on a moped. It doesn't quite capture the moment, does it? And so this symbol, that's what it is. It's a sign. It's significant, though. It's a donkey, and that's very much on purpose. And we discover that if we look back into this prophecy that is found in Zechariah 9:9. Let me read what words were prophesied some few hundred years before Jesus' birth. Zechariah said, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This ancient prophecy tells us that what's happening in this moment is significant. Palm Sunday marks a moment of great expectation for the nation of Israel and a great moment in the story of Jesus. It's a moment pregnant with questions and with hopes. Could Jesus be the long-awaited and true king? The one who's come to deliver Israel from hundreds of years of oppression, to save them from mighty Rome. Could he not only be the one who's come to save them from Rome, but to lead God's army against all evil and injustice in the world? Will he be the one who puts the world to rights? And so the crowd shouts these words, "Hosanna, Hosanna, please, Lord, save us." As they marched into the gate, into Jerusalem, the crowd, I imagine, swelled, got bigger and louder, shouting these words, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They come to the gate, they enter into the city, and this is where Mark's gospel is fascinating. We're told that Jesus entered into the city, he looked around, and he left. In other words, this moment crescendos into silence. It falls off a cliff. Jesus disappears. Mark says he went into the city, looked around, and left. The crowd disappears from the story. The palms that we've been carrying fall to the dusty ground. The sun sets. Darkness falls on the land. Darkness, spiritual darkness, will fall on Jerusalem and the whole world. In days, the cheers of Hosanna will be replaced with cries, "Crucify him!" And Jesus will hang from a cross. So again, we wonder, how does this happen? How do we go from a people shouting Hosanna to a people shouting crucify him? There's an old saying in 12-step programs that says something like, expectations are resentments waiting to happen. Have you ever heard that? Expectations are resentments waiting to happen. And I think that in some way describes how we get from Hosanna to crucify him. The crowd that day expected Jesus to be a certain kind of king. They expected him to meet certain expectations. And when he didn't, things turned quickly. We might be tempted as we read this story today to think, well, we're different. If I'd been there, I would have shouted Hosanna, but I would have never said crucify him. I think the problem with that is we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with the fact that we, like the crowd that day, have unmet expectations when it comes to God, about what God should be like and what God should do and what he should do for us. We all know the pain of unanswered prayer. We all have suffered abuses in this life. We've all experienced in one measure or another betrayal or loss, sickness. And so in the midst of life, our expectations and our expectations of God themselves can become resentments towards the Lord. In fact, the greater the expectation, I would say the greater potential resentment. And so what ultimately causes us to have this anger towards God, to have these expectations and these resentments? The Bible tells us from the very beginning that we were made in God's image. And yet, early in the story, in Genesis 3, we discover that ever since then, we've been trying to make God in our image, to refashion him into a God that we would like to worship, a God who is on team me, a God who will follow my agenda, a God who needs to satisfy my wants. And when he doesn't, we get upset. I think that's why if you walk into almost any American church, or at least many American churches today, you're very likely to hear a message about how Jesus is here to help you. Jesus is here for those who are looking for purpose and direction. If that's you, Jesus is your man. Want to be a better person or help build a better world, then join the Jesus movement. It's about you and what Jesus can do for you. Now, don't get me wrong, following Jesus will make your life better. And Jesus does make the world a better place, but not by getting on board with our agenda. In fact, what we discover in Passion Week is that Jesus came to blow up our agendas. He actually came to deal with our misguided misconceptions and expectations of God. He came to help us see just how broken things really are. And not just out there in the world, but in here. He came to help us see how broken things are within our own hearts, that our problems don't fundamentally stem from bad government or bad character or bad decisions. That our real issue is one of the heart. Our hearts have become corrupted by sin. In our pride, we have rejected God and as a result become captive to evil and condemned to death. After all, life without the God of life is death. But this is where the good news rescues us. The good news of the Christian faith is not that Jesus came to give us the life we always wanted, but to be the Savior that we've always needed. Jesus came to defeat evil and sin and death, and not with a sword, but by his cross. His weapons are words of truth and of grace. He is our humble and holy King, whose kingdom is built not on human power or force of will, but on loving sacrifice and mercy. The message of Palm Sunday is that Jesus, who rode in humbly on a donkey, who rode in as our King, is our true hope. Hope of a life free from the power of sin. Hope of a life that's good and beautiful and eternal life with God. Hope and assurance that sin and evil and death will not have the last word. And so this morning, we come as a people who need hope. We are all in some way crying out to the Lord, Hosanna, please, Lord, save us. Save us from a broken world. Save us from ourselves. Save us from our sin. I wouldn't presume to know what's going on in your life today, but in a crowd this size, I'm sure there are all kinds of hopeless situations that we're facing. You may be facing suffering or sickness, discouragement, doubt, some deep measure of grief. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction or a besetting sin, something that you know and no one else knows, something you're carrying and is crushing you. Maybe life seems fine, but the spiritual apathy that you feel is haunting you. Wherever we find ourselves today, the truth is that we all need hope. We all need hope because we're all sinners in need of saving. And so Palm Sunday invites us to see that Jesus is the only one that can save us. It's an invitation to know him as Savior and King, the one who forgives and who heals, to know the freedom of Christ, that we can be free of sin and death, to know that you and I can have life and life to the full, both now and forever. And so if that is what you long for, the invitation is to follow this Jesus. Follow him all the way to the cross and to the empty tomb, to cry out again and again, Hosanna, Lord, please save us. Let us pray. Lord, that is our cry. Lord, please come and save us. As we enter into this holy week, Lord, as we prepare to come to Maundy Thursday and then Good Friday, we pray that you would draw us to the foot of the cross, that we walk this path with you, or that we would be reminded of your incredible love for us with every single step, or that we would see the cross not only as something done by us, but something done for us. For God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.